Chapter 2. There was a great deal about the capital of the Eastern Roman Empire for Flavius Belisarius to dislike. The sheer teeming mass of humanity was easy to resent as his horse sought to push its way through the crowds that filled the streets, all jostling and refusing to give way as they, in no discernible order, moved simultaneously in two directions on foot, in carts, with the occasional palanquin or mounted worthy. Also, if a military barracks in high summer was not a scented place, Constantinople was many times worse, given it needed heavy rain to wash the filth, both human and animal, from its streets and into a sea often rendered deep brown by the effluent. Worst of all was the utter lack of regard or respect for a fellow citizen, a natural belligerence in the eyes of those he fought his way through until he reached the triumphal way and the open space before the great imperial palace, one so huge not even the population of the city could render it full, where he could dismount. Flavius had been inducted 3 years previously into the military unit responsible for the bodily security of the emperor. And it was men of that body who stood guard at the gates leading into the maze of buildings that constituted the seat of imperial power. As befitted the successors to the Praetorian Guard, they were beautifully accoutred in gleaming and decorated armour, archaic in its design, breastplates and helmets flashing in the strong sunshine, as were the points of their spears. Their commander, Justinus, after a year of training, had sent him to the eastern borderlands to hone his soldiering skills, and in doing so, he had donned the equipment of the units with which he had served, equipment that now showed the wear of 2 seasons' campaigning. His padded garment was worn, the surface nearly worn away in parts and lacking any decor. Added to that, he had upon him the grit and muck of weeks of travel, which, to these finely clad sentinels, made him look like some kind of vagabond. Naturally haughty anyway, common soldiers of such an elevated body were not inclined to give any form of greeting to an officer from another unit that came even close to respect. Flavius had also been gone 2 whole years, time in which the composition of the excubitors had changed enough to render him unknown to many of those now acting as guards. So his inquiry to be let through to attend upon the commis, if not greeted with mirth, was not taken as anything even bordering on serious, while the response was delivered to a point just above his head.
"Best if you apply in writing, young sir, and if His Excellency approves of your coming to see him, he will issue you with an authorization to enter the palace."
Flavius replied in an even tone, partly because of his equable nature, but also because of the weariness of the traveller. As if to underline he would brook no delay, he held out his reins so that his equally tired mount could be taken care of, an offer declined with a shudder of indignation as it was caught at the edge of the guard's vision.
"I am here at his express command, fellow. And I tell you that if I will not resort to temper in the face of your refusal to let me pass, I cannot speak for Justinus. He may be a commander known for his consideration, but he is also famous for his attention to the behaviour of his men and not shy of the whip."
The eyes dropped for an instant to take in the face, as if to acknowledge a commonly known truth, only to be raised again.
"If I face such wrath, it will be for letting you pass."
"Then I ask that you at least take my name to the guard commander."
"To say what?"
"That Flavius Belisarius of the Excubitors is returned."
That brought the eyes down to stare, to take in the grubby padded coat and the filth that encrusted it, the man's tone so full of astonishment as to render any respect to his rank absent.
"You? An excubitor?"
"I admit to failing to appear as one,